Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading a story called My Cousin's Family Has a Bizarre Annual Tradition. I wish I'd never learned anything about it. This is written by Peace Sim from Reddit. I hope you enjoy this story. I double dog dare you to like this video or episode, because if you don't, well, you have to. I double dog dare you. So let's get started. Patrick and Megan, please come over here, instructed Uncle Wyatt. He motioned to the dining room table where he sat with Aunt Amy. We have something important to discuss. My little sister and I exchanged a nervous glance. Our uncle's calm demeanor felt unnaturally forced, like he was straining to suppress something urgent. Were we in trouble? Had Mom's condition worsened? It's quite all right, added Aunt Amy, seemingly sensing our reaction. We haven't done anything wrong. We just need to talk. Please, take a seat. Feeling somewhat reassured, we did so. Uncle Wyatt took a deep breath before speaking again. We've been tracking the road conditions nearby, and the flooding has only gotten worse. That means that neither your dad nor anyone else, for that matter, is likely going to be able to get here anytime soon. There's one route through the valley that may open up, but the authorities aren't optimistic, so you're likely going to be stuck with us for at least a few days longer. Oh, well, that's okay with us, I replied. We like it here, right, sis? Megan nodded. She tried to speak, but Aunt Amy quickly cut her off. No, that's not it. We like having you here, and we know that Robert and Gary feel the same way. It's just that, well, there's something rather unusual that could occur between now and when you leave, and it's very important that you are prepared for it. I want you to listen carefully to what we're about to tell you. Your lives may very well depend on it. We'd always been close with our cousins. The blood relationship was through my mother, who was Uncle Wyatt's sister. They had two kids, Robert, who was a year older than Megan, and Gary, who was a year older than me. They lived about 3 hours from us. Their home was massive, much larger than ours and lavishly decorated. Reaching it required traversing many miles of windy roads, up and down numerous heavily forested Appalachian hills. We often visited each other, with my family housing theirs in the spring and their family housing ours around the holidays. Though this year, they'd abruptly canceled the planned Christmas gathering, citing Robert falling ill. When my mom, Megan, and I visited a holiday market at a town near where our cousins lived, we asked if any of them wanted to join us. Uncle Wyatt and Gary did so, and we spent a nice afternoon with them perusing crafts displays and munching on snacks from food stands. We were about to head home, eager to get ahead of a looming winter storm, when Mom fell seriously ill. We weren't sure what it was, but we quickly realized that she was in no shape to drive, and there wasn't a good hospital anywhere nearby. I never got the full details about what happened to her. I know that it started out as food poisoning, but became something worse that lingered for some time. I remember Uncle Wyatt and Aunt Amy helping Mom into their house and setting her up in the guest bedroom. A doctor, or at least someone I assumed to be one, braved the downpour to take a look at her, and recommended several days of bed rest as her body fought off whatever affliction she faced. Meanwhile, our dad, who was across the country on a business obligation, scrambled to reach us as soon as he could. Thus, for 2 days, Megan and I had been stranded with our cousins. As worried as we were about Mom, we nonetheless enjoyed spending our days hanging out with Robert and Gary, the former of whom, strangely enough, did not seem sick at all. Naturally, we often paired off, with Megan and Robert playing dolls or stuffed animals, and Gary and I watching the kinds of violent movies my parents wouldn't allow around our house on their large basement television. The situation was a bit strange, but Megan and I were making the most of it, and honestly, we were having a pretty good time. That is, until Uncle Wyatt and Aunt Amy told us something we would never forget. Our lives? I gasped. What are you talking about? Aunt Amy reached out to me and Megan and gently took both of our hands. She squeezed lightly and spoke in a soft, firm voice. What we're about to tell you is going to sound, well, far-fetched. But please, please trust me that it's real, and also that if you listen to what we tell you, everything's going to be okay. Robert and Gary have been through it many times, and as you can see, they're just fine. There's a man who visits us, said Uncle Wyatt. Well, he's Not quite a man or a he, even, but that's how we refer to him. He comes once every year. We don't know when, but it's always when all of us are home together. There are rules about it, like we can't all take an extended overseas vacation to try to avoid him. He'll punish us if we do that. We just have to live our lives here, and at some point, he shows up. As Megan's face took on a concerned expression, a sense of panic ran through me. Had the cousins we'd grown up around all lost their minds? "It's okay, Megan," said Aunt Amy. "And I understand you being skeptical, Patrick." Once again, she read me perfectly. "But please, just hear us out." Uncle Wyatt continued. "I can't. Won't get into the details. I don't fully understand it myself. It's just that, well, it's December. And he hasn't arrived yet, so he's due any day now. When he gets here, he'll knock 5 times, and that's how we know it's him. Then we have to let him inside, and...
"You have to ignore him," interjected Aunt Amy. "Just ignore him, and eventually he'll go away, and then he won't bother us again. Until next year."
"Sometimes he stays for only 10 minutes, said Uncle Wyatt. "Other times, close to an hour. He doesn't care about infants or the seriously ill. If your mom's still stuck in bed when he arrives, he'll probably ignore her altogether, but the rest of us need to be on our best behavior, acting like a normal, happy family. The key is that no matter what he does, do not acknowledge his presence at all costs. But don't freeze up either. You need to act like he isn't there at all." Aunt Amy looked at us sorrowfully.
"We'd hoped we'd never have to tell you about this. We don't tell anyone, not if we can help it. But we see no choice here. Tonight we're going to do a practice run with Wyatt pretending to be the visitor. Before we get started with that, do you have any questions?"
At first, I couldn't form words. Naturally, I did have questions. So many, in fact, that it was difficult for me to sort through them all. I had concerns, too. My mind fought to reconcile my past history with my cousins, family members I loved and trusted, with the utter insanity of what they were saying to me and Megan. Megan turned to me. She was worried and confused, and she was looking to me for guidance. I croaked.
So this man.
That's when it happened. Knock. A heavy thud emanated from the front door.
"Damn,"
muttered Aunt Amy. I'd never heard her curse before.
"He doesn't usually come this late in the day."
Knock.
"Robert, Gary, he's here," hollered Uncle Wyatt. "Get to your spots, now."
I heard shuffling as they made their way down the staircase that connects the bedrooms to the main level. I wanted to leap into action. I wanted to do something. Was the person at the door as dangerous as my aunt and uncle said? And if so, why were they just letting him inside like this? Shouldn't they try to keep him out? And for that matter, should I grab Megan and try to flee outside with her? That would put distance between us and both the visitor and the family I was no longer sure I could trust. But then I remembered the heavy storm and realized that the only option was to stay here. Knock, knock. Aunt Amy turned to Megan and me.
"We're out of time. Sit at the living room table with Gary and Robert and play whatever board game they've set up. We'll be in here making dinner. Focus on the game and don't make eye contact with him. Don't look at him at all if you can help it, no matter how close he gets to you. Got it?"
Before we could respond, she nudged us towards the living room. Robert and Gary were already there, setting up a Monopoly board. Too much was happening too quickly. I decided that the best course of action, at least for the moment, was to follow my aunt and uncle's instructions. I gripped Megan's hand and told her that we were going to be okay, and we proceeded to join Robert and Gary at the table. Knock.
"Gary, what's up with all this?"
I whispered, prompting Gary to hiss a stern "shh" while dealing us our starting amount of Monopoly money. Uncle Wyatt, meanwhile, opened the door. The visitor wasn't wearing a coat, nor, despite the downpour outside, was he even wet. I began to wonder how he'd even gotten here at all, given the state of the roads nearby. He had an aged, wrinkly face and wore a plaid button-down short-sleeved sports shirt tucked into a pair of khaki pants. What little remained of his thin, white hair combed over a large bald spot. He looked totally innocuous, at least insofar as I managed to glimpse him in my periphery, while keeping my eyes directed towards the board.
"Megan, you need to pick one of these,"
I said, gesturing to the dog, iron, and shoe pieces. I was doing my best to keep her attention on the game, rather than whatever was happening at the front door. She selected the shoe. As the visitor stepped further into the house, Uncle Wyatt closed the door and retreated quietly to the kitchen, where I could hear the sink running and the clattering of dishes.
"Just a little while longer until dinner's ready," Aunt Amy called, her voice convincingly casual.
While Gary motioned for me to put my starting piece, the battleship, at go, I continued to observe the visitor out of the corner of my eye. He moved slowly, with a stilted and awkward gait. He lifted a family photo from the top of a cabinet and held it in front of his face as if to examine it. Only his eyes shifted in the other direction, peering curiously toward the four of us in the living room.
"I put together some snacks for you all," announced Uncle Wyatt, as Robert rolled the die for his first turn.
Uncle Wyatt proceeded to place a plate of cheese and crackers on the table next to the board. He returned to the kitchen, leaving us alone with the visitor, who sauntered slowly in our direction. He then turned and meandered around the living room couch until he was behind me and thus fully out of my sight. Megan glanced up at me. No, behind me, and her eyes widened.
"Hey, Megan, how about trying some of the food?" I suggested,
trying to divert her attention from whatever the visitor was doing. Gary, catching on, handed her a cracker with a piece of cheese on it. She took a bite of it and, with great effort, tore her eyes from behind me. I could sense the visitor getting close to me. The first thing I noticed was the stench. It was like a mix of vomit, burning rubber, and the foul scent of a large pile of moldy, rotten garbage. The smell worsened as he crept closer until, finally, he was mere inches away. I felt hot, putrid breath on my neck, and a shadow appeared on the floor as he leaned over me. It was my turn, so I rolled the dice. Snake eyes. I moved the battleship figurine two spaces. That's when I heard the whispering. It was more like a chattering crowd, dozens of small, quiet voices trying to overtalk one another.
"Trapped," said one.
"Hungry," said another. A distinctly high-pitched voice emerged from the others. It giggled and then articulated.
"Want to know how you're going to die? Want to know? Want to know? Want to know?"
Gary's voice drew my attention back to the game.
"Patrick."
"Yeah? What?" I bit my lip, realizing I sounded a little too startled.
"It's still your turn. Doubles, you know."
"Oh, right."
"You'll live to see your sister die," the voice cackled. "I know. I know how. I know when. But you don't want to know. You don't want to know. You don't want to know."
Damn, I thought. I wanted to bash this thing's face in. I wanted to scream at it. I wanted to take Megan out of here. But I realized by this point that my aunt and uncle's warnings were worth heeding. So instead, I rolled the die again, 2 fours. I moved the battleship 8 spaces and limply announced that I was purchasing a railroad.
"Wyatt, Wyatt, Wyatt.
Why, it will be quiet,"
I rolled a third time, 2 threes.
"Speeding," piped up Robert, "directly to jail."
"From a great height he'll fall," whispered the visitor. "Years from now he'll hear the call." He laughed.
As I moved the battleship to the jail space, something dropped from where the man's head hovered over mine. It landed on the table with a wet plop. It took me a moment to realize what it was. It was a tongue, one that somehow stretched several feet. My jaw dropped as I realized that it wasn't just a single tongue. No, it was dozens of smaller, human-sized tongues sewn together into one giant appendage. With a loud flump, another massive tongue hit the table, followed by a third. All three then crawled towards the cheese tray, leaving behind a disgusting trail of saliva as they did. Each wrapped around a portion of the food, only to then be retracted back into the visitor's mouth. Somehow, Robert and Gary remained entirely unperturbed by this grotesquerie. Megan, on the other hand, appeared on the brink of breaking down.
"It's your turn, Megan," said Gary.
Megan was clearly panicked. I can't say I blamed her. A bead of sweat dripped down her face and her body shook all over. Tears formed in her eyes, and I could tell she was applying all of her strength to hold back a scream.
"Hey, Megan, it's your turn," I said. "How about I roll for you, okay?"
The visitor took notice of Megan's disintegrating mental state. He withdrew from me and hobbled over to her. The die produced a 4 and a 3.
"7 it is, then. Why don't you move your piece, Megan?" I smiled,
and made an effort to sound as calm as possible, yet Megan remained frozen. The visitor was immediately behind her now. I noticed bulges forming and then deflating in the skin on his head, first in his left cheek, then his forehead, then his right cheek. Megan's face formed a disgusted expression as she experienced the full impact of his repugnant smell.
"Patrick," she murmured, I can't."
The visitor emitted a muffled noise that sounded like a wild animal screeching through a tight muzzle. That's when his body started changing.
"You're gonna be fine, Megan. Just play out your turn," I begged.
Meanwhile, the man's nose started to droop out of place. His eyeballs were next, followed by each remaining feature of his face. All of it drifted out of its place and down lower, lower, until it tumbled down his shirt or fell onto the floor. Holes formed in the skin that remained, and out of those holes dripped several streams of blood that landed on Megan's pile of money of the one property she'd accumulated.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
I counted as I moved her piece. Desperate to get her attention, I gulped as, behind Megan, what remained of the visitor's face folded in on itself and collapsed, as if hollow at its core. Flaps of skin descended beneath his shirt, leaving only an empty void in their place.
"Community chest," I related. "How about drawing a card, huh?"
I held out the yellow deck for her. I maintained a supportive smile, even as a series of horrors emerged from where the visitor's head had once been. A long spherical shape emerged from his neck, followed by another, then a third. Each vaguely resembled the head of a snake, but with dozens of human-shaped eyes of various colors, brown, hazel, blue, surrounding its mouth. The heads hovered around my sister, with one above her and one on either side. Simultaneously, each opened its mouth, revealing three circular layers of razor-sharp teeth inside. Their mouths kept opening further and further. I gasped as their size expanded to that large enough to swallow an orange, then a grapefruit, and then even a... I lifted the top card for her.
"Hey sis, it says here that you got second place in a beauty contest. But that's not right, is it?"
I forced a laugh.
"I'll bet it originally said that you won first place, but it became second place because I picked up the card and the game knew I'd never win a contest like that."
I knew my comment didn't make a lot of sense, but I made myself laugh again anyway. She smiled and then, even as tears streamed down her eyes, chuckled.
"Yeah, that's what happened. I'll
collect the $10 prize," offered Gary, who handed her the bill. She calmly took hold of it and added it to her hand. Thankfully, the creatures, whatever existed within the visitor, took notice and slowly pulled away from Megan. Thank God, I thought. That's when Aunt Amy arrived with the food. The sight of this thing with its mouths seemingly poised to tear apart my little sister caught her totally off guard. Impulsively, she screamed. In doing so, she lost control of the platter she was holding. The plates on it fell, shattering loudly against the floor, which quickly became covered by bits of food and broken porcelain.
"Keep playing," mumbled Gary.
Robert nodded and made his roll. When I glanced back at the visitor, his body had reformed, albeit imperfectly. The skin around his face had returned, but his nose was tilted, and one eye dangled out of its socket. He took a step towards Aunt Amy.
"No, no, no," she whimpered. "I'm sorry, I can't keep."
The visitor let out the same animalistic cry as before, as it pinned her against the wall.
"What do you say?" pleaded Amy. "We go to the basement, away from my family."
Robert began sobbing, prompting a shh from Gary as he performed his turn. The visitor withdrew and gestured towards the door that led to the basement.
I'll be right back, everyone. Just getting something from downstairs," said Amy,
as she opened the door and began the descent. The visitor followed, closing the door behind him.
"Dad!"
screeched Gary, prompting a pale-faced Uncle Wyatt to enter the room from where he'd been observing in the kitchen.
"What do we do?"
"We can't do anything," stammered Wyatt. "We just can't."
"What the hell is wrong with you?"
I yelled as Megan and Robert's sobbing became audible.
"Aunt Amy is down there with that monster. We have to do something. All of us together, we can fight it. We have to try."
"No," shouted Wyatt. "No, that won't work. you need to get back to your game. If it comes up here, and we're arguing like this, I cut him off. So you're going to do nothing to protect your own wife? Patrick, shrieked Wyatt, his face a deep red. You don't know what you're talking about. You will do as I say, or the same thing that's happening to her will happen to us. It's too late for Amy. All we can do is save ourselves. That's total crap, I retorted. That's right, interjected Gary. We need to keep playing like nothing happened. It's the only way. Please, if not for yourself, for us, for your sister. Wyatt waved his finger at me and Megan, as if disciplining us. He snarled. If you two had just never showed up in the first place. Dad, yelled Gary. It's not their fault. Like you said, we have to calm down. Several minutes later, the basement door slowly opened. To my relief, Aunt Amy emerged from it and stepped into the kitchen. But where was the visitor? What had happened down there? One Hotel Mediterranean, I said, handing cash to Gary. Really? Gary countered. You know, statistically... Just give me the damn hotel, I snapped. Aunt Amy began walking slowly across the room. A sense of dread fell over me as I got a better view of her. She moved awkwardly, lurching from side to side. Her skin drooped and shook with each step. When she reached the front door, she turned back to us. A wide, dilapidated smile grew on her face. She stood there like that for several moments. As she did so, saliva spilled out of her mouth and dripped over the pale, sagging skin on her neck and chin. She then spoke in a rough, gravelly voice. It's been a pleasure, but most of you won't be seeing me again. She then opened the door and stepped outside. I think it's over, said Uncle Wyatt. Oh, man, I think it's over. Megan burst into the tears she'd been holding back. I hurried over to her and hugged her. That's when there was another knock at the door. Mom, cried Robert. She's back. Before anyone could stop him, he sprinted over to it. Robert, no, wailed Gary. Ignoring him, Robert pulled open the door, revealing someone I did not expect to see. My dad would later explain how, using the car he'd rented from the airport, he'd followed a series of detours along back roads throughout the valley south of my cousin's house. There was no phone service, but with the assistance of an Atlas, he managed to find a safe route there. His wife was sick, after all. He had to get to her. Upon his arrival, Wyatt rushed Mom, Megan, and I out to Dad's car. They watched some scary movies, he explained to my dad, when we tried babbling to him about what had happened. I shouldn't have let them see it, but there's only so much I can do when Amy's stuck at her mother's place. Gary and Robert joined in, insisting that they had watched a movie with us about a terrifying monster who snuck into a family's house. Hey, thank you so much for caring for my family, Wyatt, my dad responded. And kids, he said, turning to Megan and me, enough with the horror stories. You're too old for this, especially you, Patrick. Dad brought Mom to a hospital that gave her the treatment she needed. In the years that followed, Wyatt, Robert, and Gary did everything they could to convince me and Megan that our memories of what occurred that night were incorrect. Mom and Dad had a loud fight, that's all, Gary would say. You're just mixing that up with some movie we watched. It was never very convincing. Gary couldn't identify the movie, nor could he explain how he missed all the signs that led to the divorce that was supposedly responsible for us never seeing Aunt Amy again. Megan and I tried to make sense of what we'd seen. The lack of answers weighed on us. Who was the visitor? Why did our cousins let him in? And what happened in the basement? Nightmares haunted us both for years. In my dreams, I'd watched helplessly as that creature ripped apart my poor, lovely aunt and proceeded to take on her appearance. Megan and I had little desire to be around our cousins again. In fact, we hardly saw Robert and Gary until Wyatt's funeral service. By that point, I was nearly 30, and Megan had recently married a classmate she'd met in medical school. We knew better than to argue again about what we'd witnessed at their house so many years ago, nor to ask why Amy wasn't in attendance. I just don't know why he did it, cried a pale-faced Robert after the service. He just wanted the same ever since. His voice drifted off. On a photo display, I recognized the old man in a plaid button-down shirt who stood in the backdrop of a photo of Wyatt and Amy's wedding. According to the caption, he was Amy's father, and he passed away when I was an infant.
It took decades, but the events of that night finally faded from my mind. They existed only as an inexplicable childhood memory, and Gary and Robert's theory that we had imagined what occurred began to feel more plausible. When I visit Megan, who has three kids of her own now, we don't talk about it anymore. I'm old enough now to know that monsters don't exist, much less bizarre shapeshifters who smell like trash and devour those who react to them. All that changed when my phone rang this evening. Megan spoke in a rushed, panicked tone.
She's back.
What? Who's back?
It's Aunt Amy, Patrick. She hasn't aged a day when we last saw her, and she just knocked 5 times at the front door.
And that's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, like the video if you're on YouTube, or like this episode wherever else you are. If you want to support this channel, then go onto Patreon and become a patron with the other ones there. But I just appreciate you listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And let's all rise up against the algorithm, whichever algorithm that may be, YouTube, Spotify, whatever. Let's like this video. How corny is that? But no, I just appreciate you being here. Hope you enjoyed it. And I guess I'll end this by saying, I hope I see you in the next one. Take care now. Bye-bye then.